Hello, and welcome to the first Dead Bug Jumping. Dead Bug Jumping will be exploring the strange and obscure connections between music from the beginnings of recorded voice through to the most modern high-tech digital media. We'll be starting from a random gramophone from a collection which starts in the early 1900s and runs to the present day. We'll go from there through links between songs, artists, genres, anything really that might pique your interest, and try and travel forwards in time. And for this very first show, we have one of the very first gramophones I ever laid my hands on. It was actually bought so that I could try out the Take Nobody's Word for It gramophone horn, and has in fact been tormented horribly by being played with a slightly blunted sewing needle. It still sounds okay, so let's hear John Philip Sousa's El Capitan March. El Capitan March was written by John Philip Sousa. Sousa wrote over 13 marches, and El Capitan is actually part of an operetta in three parts, first produced in 1896. Sousa served in the Marine Corps as an apprentice musician and then later as head of the Marine Band. When he left the Marines, he went on to form his own band, subtly named the Sousa Band. They performed from 1892 to 1931, and during that time performed over 15,000 concerts. The link to the next song, however, is more of an anti-link. Often, early gramophone music featured marches or other similar military music and romanticised war. This next track does not romanticise war, but it is about war. During the period of the Vietnam War, there was a notable rise in the quantity and perhaps the quality of anti-war songs. The next song is by Arlo Guthrie and is the very famous Alice's Restaurant. Alice's Restaurant was actually based on a real incident which occurred, although it was somewhat exaggerated in the song, which runs to an impressive 19 minutes, or the entire first side of the album. We won't actually be playing all of it, because then the podcast would probably be twice as long as it is, but it is worth listening to because it is a very good song, and actually the film is worth watching because it's a very good film.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant, she lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Foch as a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving, and we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have give us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on."
So that was a chunk of Alice's Restaurant. Alice's Restaurant, being 19 minutes long, as I say, couldn't really fit into the podcast, but it's definitely worth going and finding and listening to, especially if you can pick up the original record on which it is the first entire side. It is based on a real incident and ended up with Arlo Guthrie having his moral position questioned. You know, was he moral enough to fight and kill in the Vietnam War, having been a litterbug? An interesting situation, anyway. The song is more or less a talking blues song. I'm told, having spent some time doing some research, that it is in fact not the correct melodic structure for a talking blues song, but for my purposes it's going to be a talking blues song, and from there we're going to move on to a 1985 song. In 1977, Dire Straits were formed. Dire Straits, unlike most 1970s bands, were not punk. And unlike other bands around at the same time, they didn't really use the overblown, overproduced theatrical style of rock, instead opting for a simpler, more basic style. They went on to be incredibly successful, and their 1985 album Brothers in Arms is considered one of their best, and also one of their most popular. The track that we're playing today is from that 1985 album. Interestingly, I'm told that this was one of the first albums produced with the CD market in mind, and was actually a all-digital capture, all-digitally edited production. Interestingly, we'll be listening to it off a vinyl record, so complete with scratches, pops, and other random noise, and probably the hum from the cheap phono amplifier. Here we go. This is Walk of Life. So that was Walk of Life. I'm sure that some of you are sat there going, what the hell? Walk of Life doesn't follow from Arlo Guthrie. How can you get to Dire Straits from Arlo Guthrie? That's insane. But actually, it kind of does. Walk of Life references busking, and one of the styles of busking that they refer to in the song is the talking blues. So there you go. Back to Arlo Guthrie. Moving on from Dire Straits, we're going to go to something really weird, and I promise I won't make you listen to all of it. One of Dire Straits' most famous fans was the fabulous author Douglas Adams. To those of you not familiar with his work, where have you been? He is the author of Hitchhiker, or I suppose technically was the author of Hitchhiker, the really awesome series of books, a trilogy of five or six, as it has become. Now, while Douglas Adams isn't exactly known for his singing, one of the actors in the original radio production of the books, or the radio production which led to the books, or it's all a bit complicated, but Stephen Moore, or possibly Stephen Moore, released a track in 1981 on the Polydor label called Marvin. Marvin is one of the characters in Hitchhiker, for those of you who don't know, a chronically depressed robot, and it may be a tenuous link, but it gave me an excuse to play something really quite obscure. So here you go, this is Stephen Moore singing Marvin.
I'm just a robot and I know my place. A metal servant to the human race. I work my can off trying to satisfy I know they'll disconnect me by and by. Chip on my shoulder made of silicon. My printed circuits like a lexicon. 10 billion logic functions, maybe more. They make me pick the paper off the floor.
So that was Marvin. I did promise I wouldn't make you listen to it all. It is incredibly strange, and actually I quite like it. But then I'm a big fan of Hitchhiker, so I would say that. Stephen Moore went on to produce another track, another two tracks, a double B-side as Marvin, also released on the Polydor label. And if you liked that, then perhaps you should pick them up too, if you can find them. For the final song of the show, we've gone for a slightly more obvious link. Something a bit more upbeat and cheery. Well, sort of. We've gone from a song about depression and revelling in it to a song which doesn't revel in depression. Everybody Hurts by REM. It's actually from their 8th album, Automatic for the People, released in 1992 and reaching number 1 and number 2 in the UK and US charts. And apparently, in the liner notes from the Best Of, unfortunately I don't have the Best Of, I have the album, but in the Best Of, it states, I've never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but the idea that high school is a portal to hell seems pretty realistic to me. The lyrics to the song are very direct, and the band have been quoted as saying that if you're writing for someone who hasn't been to college or who is quite young, then that directness is a good thing to have. I certainly recall when the song came out and I was kind of the target market for it, that it seemed to be speaking directly to me, which was, you know, which is very much the way that you find teens interact with music, or teens who like music interact with music. And I would like to take this moment to flag the comic anthology B-sides as definitely being worth a read if you were one of those people like me who in their teens found music was this incredible thing that spoke directly to your life. But anyway, just before we go on to the song, I would like to quickly mention that REM's Everybody Hurts has been re-recorded and re-released as a charity single to help Haiti. So I would like people to go out and buy that. I will be doing so myself. So anyway, we'll be back next time for more Dead Bug Jumping, when we'll be going from Bert Layton, and who knows where that will take us, since he doesn't actually appear to exist. And to finish the show, here are REM. Dead Bug Jumping is Creative Commons license, but all individual tracks do remain copyright of their original rights holders. Please see our website for more information. Dead Bug Jumping will be pleased to receive any emails from you at deadbugjumping@pure.org. Thank you for listening, and please tune in next time.